Hello and welcome to Routines and Ruts, the podcast about daily rhythms and the inevitable stumbles we encounter in our lives. I'm your host, Madeline Dore, and for more than half a decade, I've been asking people what their days look like, what they do, when they do it, how they do it, and have recently bundled all of these insights into my very first book called I Didn't Do the Thing Today. It's all about untethering ourselves from the idea that productivity is the sole measure of our worth and finding something more fitting in its place. If you've ever felt the pressure to do more, be more, achieve more, I think you'll get a lot from it. In the lead up to the launch, I'll be answering your productivity guilt and existential quandaries. So I'll pop a link in the show notes to where you can submit a question of your own. A quick note to say that I'm not a licensed therapist, but rather drawing on my own stumbles and the lessons I've learned, sharing the advice I think I need to really hear myself and hope that it inspires you to use these episodes as a springboard to find your own answers too. Before I dive into this week's question, which is a juicy, juicy question for this time of year when the pressure is on, I'll share my routine and rut of the week. My routine of the week is about the power of a portable routine. Last week I was in Sydney on my very first interstate trip, and despite being self-proclaimed as routine resistant, I found myself very discombobulated. I was there to sign books for Booktopia Australia, which is a smooth segue actually to say that if you've already pre-ordered through Booktopia Australia, your copy will be signed. And if you haven't and you're in Australia, there's a limited number. So now is a really great time to pre-order your copy of I Didn't Do the Thing Today. It's very helpful as a first-time author to have those pre-orders. So I really appreciate those of you who have. Where was I? Discombobulated. I didn't have my usual coffee spot, my usual running track, my own shower and my own things around. So I really struggled to find my footing and I felt a bit lost in my days. So I was reminded of Austin Kleon's portable routine. So when I interviewed him a few years ago, he was speaking about how he has a checklist of things that make up a good day. So on his checklist, there's write, read, journal, and walk. And there's no particular order to when those things need to happen. But if he does tick off those things, it tends to lead to a good day. But on the days it doesn't, that's okay too. So I thought, okay, for me and my portable routine, I have journaling, I have meditation, I have a walk, and I have clearing emails. They're the things that I've found recently have helped me feel grounded. And there doesn't have to be an order or a set approach or an expectation even to do them all. I can kind of shuffle them as I need to. And if I do them, it's a good day. So I found that really helpful and steadying during the discombobulating travel period. And so maybe that might be helpful during the holidays for you too. And I encourage you to be flexible, to embrace the shuffle of things. My rut of the week is related. So I decided to head to the airport earlier than planned to catch an afternoon flight, only to cancel it accidentally and not be able to rebook. And it was a long story, but I had to reinstate the evening flight that I was already booked on, leaving me with 6 hours before boarding and in limbo at the airport. So luckily I was able to check in my luggage and all I had with me was an albeit heavy backpack. But I took myself back into the CBD in Sydney and I went to the art gallery to see the Matisse exhibition. And the art was inspiring, don't get me wrong, beautiful, colourful, love the cutouts. But the true epiphany was the cloakroom. After what was a frustrating and even teary at points day, I relished the fact that I could put my heavy backpack in a little room and wander around freely. And it made me think about how we hold on to so much in our days. We lug it around on our already sore shoulders when really we can actually choose to put it down for a moment. So maybe that problem that you're obsessing over or that conversation that you're needing to have and you want to get right in your mind, maybe you can wait, and maybe even by putting it to the side, you'll be able to build the strength back or at least have slightly less sore shoulders to actually have the space and the capacity to solve the problem rather than wearing yourself down by lugging it around. So the lesson there is to cloak something. Let it wait, put it away, put it on hold, switch on the out-of-office email. This doesn't mean that you're avoiding something. It will still be there. It's just that you're putting it to the side and it will be there for you when you return. But the difference is you'll have a new, inspired or softened perspective, just as I did after wandering through the gallery. On to this week's question. Dear Madeline, coming to the end of the year, I found it's hard to slow down because there is still so much to do on top of holiday plans. I feel guilty for slowing down and putting things off when I know there's more I could be doing. It's worth noting that I'm currently pregnant, have worked hard at a stressful job and freelance projects this year, and my health has been a bit run down lately. I've been finding it hard to do simple everyday things. Going to work feels like a struggle, and so as soon as I get home, I'm exhausted to the point where I haven't been able to cook, clean, sometimes even brush my teeth before I go to bed. My best friends and even my therapist are telling me to go easy on myself, but I can't seem to shake the feeling of guilt and shame for not pulling my weight or being this high-functioning human that I usually portray myself to be. I worry that if I don't have this pressure on myself, I will become complacent and won't form the good habits I need to or get the success I want. I know when I push and apply myself, I can succeed. So I feel guilty that I'm not doing anything, but I also feel bad I'm not spending time with family and taking a well overdue break. So I suppose my question is, how do you know the difference between when you're being complacent and really should get things done, and when you're simply burnt out and need to take it easy and have a break? Ooh, your question is the question of questions, dear listener. How do we get better at the things we want to get better at, but also be kind and compassionate enough to ourselves that we don't spiral in anxiety and shame and guilt for not yet being better? It's interesting that what's at the center of this question is actually self-awareness, but it's this confusing side to self-awareness, really, because you can be self-aware enough to know what you want and what you need to do to achieve something, but equally self-aware enough to recognize that you need to be kinder to yourself as you pursue that something. And both are an accurate lens. We are both a work in progress and enough at the same time. So we're both growing and complete. But it's muddled because we're nestled in the society that doesn't have much patience for growth. But equally, once we are complete, it shifts the goalpost and we're told that we're not enough. So we feel like we have to hurry through the growth only to arrive and have to keep going and doing more. It becomes all the more muddled again when we live in a society that measures our value through what we do and celebrates this constant improvement and betterment, yet equally tells us to take a break, enjoy the holidays, rest, you've got to rest. And then we're the ones left wondering, but how? How are we expected to go from go, 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 go to stopping and resting and going easy on ourselves when we've been told to push, push, push? It's like riding in a fast car only to slam on the brakes and then wonder why we have whiplash. So I think that's what I want to say up top is that we have to be gentle with how we even put on the brakes, because otherwise when we try to enforce rest, when we go from go, go, go to nothing, to stopping, to pausing, we find ourselves in what I refer to as the productivity, guilt, anxiety, and shame spiral. And I think that's where you're describing yourself as being. You've been driving in a fast car and the brakes have been slammed on and you don't know how to stop, but you also don't know how to keep going either. And that's the torture of it all, I think. And it's particularly rife during this time of year for some people because we're not used to taking a break. We've been told to push through. And we can spend the holiday not quite resting because we don't know how to, and we feel guilty for not doing things, but we're also not doing things because we're exhausted and we need to be resting. And I've even found for myself that that particular limbo can be almost a comfortable place to be in because I don't have to face what I'll find when I do rest and truly switch off. And I also don't need to do the work. Instead, I'm just there spiraling in between and trying to figure out the answer to the question. But even that said, I think it's a really important one to dive into. When do you need to be easier on yourself? And when do you know when to push yourself? So let's try. If we return to this idea of self-awareness, that's what can lead us to inspect the reasons behind why you're not doing things. If it's because in your particular circumstances, you're pregnant, you've been unwell, you're working to the point of exhaustion, people who love you and care for you are telling you to go easy on yourself, maybe, just maybe, you need to be going easy on yourself. Maybe it would be helpful to recognize that your best friends and your therapist are not telling you because they want you to be derailed by complacency. They're telling you to go easy on yourself because they love you and maybe you need the break, and they see that. And that's what's beautiful about best friends. They tell you the very thing that can be hard to tell yourself or to see yourself. But as one of my best friends is always reminding me, we can also be our own best friends. And so if your best friend came to you with your very question, what would you say about whether you need to be going easy on yourself or whether you need to be pushing yourself right now? I'll let you ponder that. But I also want to say I know how difficult it can be to know something intellectually, but to really believe it or to really enact it. So even this advice on being your own best friend or giving yourself the advice that you would give your best friend, it can be hard to grasp and actually do. It sort of seems a bit amorphous to me. And I think in part that's because we can almost gaslight ourselves, particularly over our own productivity levels. Because even as you say, you worry that you won't be able to be this high-functioning human that you usually portray yourself to be. And that's a thing. We're all portraying ourselves in different lights and then comparing ourselves to those portrayals of other people. And so there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on. And we can then find ourselves gaslighting ourselves because we question our own sanity. We can see intellectually that perhaps society is setting us up to fail with this pressure to always be doing and to always be doing more. And we can even recognize that we're exhausted. But when it comes down to it, we doubt that we personally, individually, deserve a break, or we might even blame ourselves for not doing things or not doing enough. And so it's this productivity self-gaslighting. And I think this is at the heart of what we need to untether from, this self-blame, this self-judgment, this guilt and shame that we experience around our own productivity. And I think we have to first acknowledge that it isn't all on us. We are being set up to fail in a society that expects us to be productive all the time, when really being productive is just one of many, many byproducts of living well. And perhaps when we acknowledge this expectation and this pressure from society, it can help bring a sense of clarity to our circumstances. So with that in mind, we can acknowledge that we're living through a global pandemic and there's a cloud of uncertainty that continues to roll over us with each new variant. We can acknowledge that that brings a fogginess, that it brings conflicting emotions, that yes, we're excited for this holiday period, but we're also apprehensive. Yes, there's maybe an optimism for the new year, but also maybe dread or fear. And within that, we all have varying circumstances to acknowledge as well. So in your instance, you're pregnant and that comes with a lot of hormones and changes and energy fluctuations, and you've just wrapped up a stressful year of work and you've been run down physically, and here you are berating yourself for not doing the dishes. When circumstantially stepping outside that, you can see, well, perhaps it's no wonder the dishes are falling to the wayside when all of this is going on. It's not so much that being productive is the problem, but rather the narrow view we have of productivity and the rigidity we apply to it and the expectation we layer over it and the guilt and the shame that we experience. That's what's reaching detrimental proportions, the self-blame, the self-gaslighting, this shame and guilt. So what helps me is just what I mentioned in terms of stepping outside of that and stepping outside of that guilt, anxiety, and shame spiral that we can enter into when we're not being productive, that spiral where we're not doing the thing at the specific time we said we'd do the thing, and so we don't do anything because we're stifled by the shame of that. And so to step outside of it, I first need to have that clearer picture. I need to inspect the circumstances and look at them kind of objectively. And once I do that, I can find what it is that's bumping me into the spiral. Oh, it's my expectation. Oh, it's the plans that have been derailed. Oh, it's my comparison to other people. Or, oh, it's this idea that I'm lazy if I don't do things all the time, or I'm complacent. I've also found that it can be really helpful to speak to myself in third person and say, oh, Madeline, there you go again, spiraling about things you can't control rather than focusing on the small things that you can control. And this stepping outside the spiral and seeing myself from a step back and looking at the circumstances clearly instead of trying to search in vain for some kind of productivity hack that will save me, that's what can slowly bring acceptance. It's no longer about trying to change or to push or to strive or to keep lurching in that forward motion. It's actually about seeing what I have here and using what I have in this moment. So that's not to say that we don't want to work or to change or to improve our circumstances, but rather when we see the experience we're having with more clarity, we can find more acceptance. We can accept that we're in this particular season right now. We can accept that things take the time that they take. We can accept that things can wait. We can accept that our priorities are different and they shift. We can accept that this means the dishes might pile up. We can accept that we can't be all and everything and everywhere all at once. We can accept that when we aren't doing the thing, sometimes we are doing something else that's important. We can accept that we have to be flexible. We can accept that the timelines we set for doing things shift and shuffle. We can accept that distractions will happen and interruptions will occur and we encounter different challenges, and we can accept that something is better than nothing, or even that we needed something entirely different to what we thought we needed. And I think in that acceptance, that's where we can really tune into the self-awareness as well with clarity, and see whether it is rest that we need or whether it is the push that we need. And there will be times where we do need that push. Sometimes we do put things off because we're being complacent. So I think that that's why it's all the more important to recognize the difference between exhaustion and complacency, because they're two very different things. And really, I think that they both deserve kindness. So maybe you didn't do the thing today because you're pregnant, you're exhausted from work, you have a cold. Or maybe you didn't do the thing because it's difficult or challenging or boring or you're scared. In either instance, whether it's out of exhaustion or complacency, berating yourself isn't going to make it any easier or any more encouraging to do the thing. Instead, I think being kind to ourselves is how we can build the very habits you're worried you'll miss if you're complacent. I don't think we put ourselves at risk of complacency for being kind to ourselves, for being compassionate. In fact, I think that we set ourselves up better for success. You don't really hear about people who learn to be their own best friend and learned how to be kind to themselves and compassionate to themselves and be self-aware and then, you know, never did another thing again for the rest of their days. These people who learn how to be their own best friend and learn to be kind to themselves, these are the people that really sparkle. They're alive, they're generous, they experiment, they try things, they're unafraid of failure, they're doing what is important to them because they've found a way to sidestep the fear and be flexible and accepting and self-forgiving. I think that if we're kind, if we're rested, if we're accepting, if we're enjoying ourselves, we might just have a better chance at doing the things that we need to do or the things that matter to us, and we find ourselves on the road to success, however you define that yourself. And I think there's a lot to be said for enjoying things, be it enjoying the restful time, enjoying this idea of being easy on yourself. If you do think that actually, no, it really is a time for me to push myself, finding ways to enjoy that as well. If you have really fallen behind with life admin, then I love that idea of the errand hang, doing the errands with a friend, and then it makes it more delightful and more fun and more about connecting, and again comes from this place of being kind to yourself and finding a way to have fun with something. So I think if there's one thing that can help with this dilemma we face of being told to go, 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 and then suddenly put on the brakes to pause and having that whiplash. It's actually taking a step back and finding a way to enjoy the ride. And so maybe that means that you slow down and you cruise around, or maybe that does mean that you find a safe place to park, or maybe you keep on speeding down the freeway because you are in a swing and you're not exhausted by the year and you do want to keep on doing things. You're not obliged to rest right now either. It's almost like this rest pressure is the other side of productivity pressure. But whatever it might be that you need, I think the way to answer that question for yourself is really taking a moment to survey the circumstances, to really give yourself the advice you'd give your best friend, and to be kind. And this is why I'm really looking forward to sharing my book with you very, very soon in just 2 and a bit weeks, because the message I delve into is this. We don't need to berate ourselves to take the things we don't do as a major character flaw or proof that we're lazy or terrible or disappointing human beings. We're simply imperfect, fallible human beings living in imperfect days where we don't always get things done or we don't get them done in the way that we thought we'd get them done. But we can use what we have and we can make it enjoyable in small, meaningful ways. And so to summarize, I suggest when you're facing this dilemma yourself about whether to push or whether to rest, look at the circumstances first. Recognize that it's not our fault, that you do deserve rest if you need it and want it. And it can be really helpful to step out from the spiral, because it really is being stuck in that limbo, as comfortable as it can be. I think we can dwell there too long and get quite stuck and be trying to solve all these questions when really we just need to decide whether to go easy on ourselves or whether to push, and then adjust as necessary, because really it's about accepting how the moment is unfolding and about being kind. And finally, if deep down you really know that you really need to be doing the thing, then my suggestion is to make it fun. Thank you for listening to this episode of Routines and Ruts. And if you'd like more of my thoughts on navigating the stumbles of productivity guilt, please do pre-order my book. Chapters delve even further into related topics like time, routine, and discipline. And so there's lots for you to dive into. Plus, if you pre-order in the next 2 weeks, you'll receive a gentle manifesto filled with comforting reminders for the days that you didn't do the thing. You'll find a link in the show notes to pre-order the book, along with a link to where you can ask questions to be considered for an upcoming episode. Talk soon, and until then, remember, as the philosopher Montaigne said, "We are great fools. He has passed his life in idleness, say we. I have done nothing today. What? Have you not lived? That is not only the fundamental, but the most illustrious of your occupations."